Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Mark and will be continuing this series with part two of The Parables of Jesus. So let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 4 verse 1 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
And again, Jesus began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." So they're asking him, "Lord, why are you speaking in these parables now?" And Jesus tells them a hard truth. He said, basically, "I'm speaking in these parables to veil the truth." You think, well, why in the world would God do that? It was a judgment that was beginning to come because he had been there, he had been speaking plainly to them, he had been speaking clearly to them, and they were not receiving his word. And so now the judgment is beginning to fall upon them. And it starts with Jesus speaking in these parables. So he explains the parable to them. "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" So he gives the interpretation. The sower sows the word. So it's the picture of the farmer who's there with his bag of seed, and he's going along and he's scattering the seed. Jesus says this is how the word is going out. He himself at this point is the sower. He's sowing the word. He's throwing the word out there. "And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." So the seed goes out, falls by the wayside. The birds, he said, come and snatch it up. Jesus said, this is the spiritual understanding of what I'm talking about. This is what happens. Satan comes. This always strikes me, that whenever the word is going out, Satan is always right there to try to snatch it away. He's always right there to try to rob people of receiving the word. And that's why it's important not to be content having shared the word with somebody to just walk away and not really give any more thought to it. When we share the word with somebody, what we really need to do is as we walk away, we need to pray, Lord, help that word to take root. Lord, beat back the devil so he's not able to snatch that word away. But you know, he does do that. So we have to be aware of that. Whenever the word's going out, Satan's at work because he does not want the word to take root in anybody's life. And he's quite successful. So they hear, but Satan comes and immediately takes away the word that was sown in their heart. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation and persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So here's a different group. The word doesn't take any kind of root whatsoever. It's snatched up before it can ever get into the heart. But now here's a different group where the word seems to take, but yet it's temporary. There's no depth. The roots don't go down. And as he said, the sun comes out and scorches it, and it dies. But here, Jesus says what that is when tribulation or persecution arise for the word's sake. Boy, I'll tell you, I have seen so many people over the years who had heard the word and received the word and were so excited about it. And so excited that they ran out and they were telling everybody, man, you got to come to the Lord and you got to know Jesus and come with me to church. And, you know, you just look at them initially and you think, wow, this is amazing. This person's on fire. This is so exciting. And you would think, you know, they're going to light the world on fire. And then a month later, 2 months, 3 months down the road, they're not even around anymore. And we see that. And I've seen that many, many times over the years. And then another class. Now, these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So here's another category. Here's another group who receive the word and, you know, something springs up. It's not that thing that immediately is scorched because of the sun, but something springs up. And there appears to be life there. But then the thorns come in and begin to choke it. And the cares of this life begin to choke out the word, the cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. Oh, man. Note that word, deceitfulness. Riches are deceitful. They fool you. They trick you. There's no crime in being rich. There's no sin in being rich. But if we forsake the Lord to pursue riches, that's where the problem comes in. And so the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things. They just start desiring other things. You start thinking like that. You start being interested in those other things, whatever they are. Other is just, it's anything really. Anything that comes in and takes away the passion. Because, you know, the reality is when we come to Christ, what happens? God does a work in our hearts and we get a passion for Jesus. We're excited about him. We want to be around the things of the Spirit and we want to be involved in the things of God and we want to get to know him. But if that starts to diminish, we have to be careful. Now, all of us go through seasons where, you know, the fire maybe, you know, burns a little bit lower than normal. But we have to be careful during those seasons. We have to, you know, kind of slap ourselves around and say, wait a second, I got to stoke this fire. I got to get myself back in tune spiritually, lest I drift off into these other things. So this is a real thing that we have to be extremely cautious about the thorns choking out the seed. So, you know, in the end here, he comes to this one, the one sown on good ground, who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. So there's, out of all of these four, there's one that's really the one that we want to aim to be. We want to aim to be those who hear the word. And I think it's Luke, he uses the word understanding. We need to understand the word. And so we've got to put forth effort to understand the word. You know, it's not a matter of just reading some words on a page and then walking away saying, okay, well, I read my Bible for the day. Did you understand it? You see, there has to be understanding in order for there to be real maturity, real growth that's taking place. And so hearing it with understanding, accepting it, receiving it, and then the fruit comes. Now, I think here there's two ways to look at this parable. On the one hand, we can look at it from the perspective of salvation. And, you know, one out of four people who encounter the word, according to the parable, end up really, you know, being saved in the truest sense. I think there's an application that's not necessarily a salvation application. The application is more for us as believers, because this whole thing that we're talking about here, you know, is kind of a cycle that we can go through even as believers, where the Lord brings us the word and the enemy's right there trying to snatch it away. And, you know, we receive the word and we move in a direction that God wants us to go in, and we're stepping out, we're taking steps of faith, but then tribulation comes and persecution comes and we back off, so we really don't bear the kind of fruit that God was wanting us to bear. Or we're growing in the Lord, but then other things come in and they just start to choke the life out. We're still saved, but we're not bearing the kind of fruit that God intends, because we're allowing these other things not to fully rip us off to where we just, you know, forsake the faith, but to just affect us enough to take away the fruitfulness that God is looking for. So we have to be on our guard as believers. We don't want to let the devil snatch the word away. We don't want to let the troubles that we go through discourage us, so we draw back. And we certainly want to be careful not to let the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things come in and start to take up our time and our energy, get us distracted from the things of the Spirit. So we're just not fruitful. God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to bear fruit. Now, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. What's the difference there? Why are some 30, why some 60, why 100? I think it has to do with God's ordaining of fruit for our lives. God has ordained that we bear fruit, and some people are going to bear a certain amount, other people are going to bear another amount, according to God's sovereign plan and purpose for a person's life. I can't do anything more than God's called me to do, but I certainly don't want to do anything less than he's called me to do. So that's what we want to shoot for. I want to do what God has called me to do. So let's be on our guard there. We don't want to fall into that, but we want to receive the word, hear it, accept what it says, and let the word do that work in our hearts so that fruit that God is wanting to see produced can come forth. Now, verse 21. Also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. Anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you again, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. This is such an important thing that Jesus says to us here. He's basically telling us to make sure that we, as we hear the Word of God, that we apply it to our lives, because that's the way we're going to keep hearing. That's the way we're going to get more. So when the Lord gives us things, He expects us to apply them to our lives. He expects us to assimilate this into our lives, and He expects that we would respond to Him. And then as we do, He comes along with more. So if you feel sometimes like you're up against a wall and you can't push forward, maybe stop and say, well, Lord, is there something that I haven't yet applied that you've already spoken to me? So the more we respond, the more we're going to receive. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you again, and to those who hear, more will be given. So the more we hear and apply, God's going to keep supplying that to us. And He said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. So here Jesus is talking about the mysterious aspect of the kingdom, the mysterious aspect of the work of the Spirit. Like Jesus would say to Nicodemus, the wind blows where it will. You hear the sound of it, but you don't really know where it's coming from or where it's going. And he says, and so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And this work of the Spirit, this work that God's doing in our lives, this work that God's doing in the world, it's sort of like the farmer. You know, he scatters the seed and it sprouts up, and, you know, he doesn't really understand how all of this happens. It just takes place. This is the way that God has set it up. So as the Word of God goes out, you know, we don't understand how it all happens, but it does. And so we just trust. Remember, the sower went out to sow seed. So we just keep sowing. You know, sometimes we get hung up because we think, well, I don't know, is this enough? Or, you know, how does this work? I mean, I'm just sharing with people. How is that doing anything? I don't know, but it's doing it. That's the wonderful thing. The Spirit's doing things. That's such a great thing. You know, we're looking at a text and I'm sharing on it. And it's amazing, though, how God is taking these words and finding application in all of our lives in different ways, because we're all at different places and we all need different things to, you know, be applied to us. It's a miracle how God is able to do that. And I don't know how it is that the word just falling on a person's heart and them receiving it, how it just has that ability to transform and to change. But you know it happens, right? You know what God's been doing in your life. You know how you have changed from the person that you were a year ago or 3 years ago or 5 years ago. And how's it happened? It's just because as you're consistently there in God's Word, before the Lord, just opening yourself up to Him, He's doing this work in your life. And He knows what He's doing. So verse 30. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. So here's this little place, this little out-of-the-way, insignificant, irrelevant place, and here's this young man who's not part of the establishment as a teacher, but he's got a handful of men who are following him, a dozen, and he's teaching them. And he's talking to them about grandiose things like, you know, the whole world and the cosmos and the heavens and the earth, and his words are never going to pass away and things like that. And, you know, of course, some people would have thought, what? Who is this? Well, these guys, what in the world could they do? So it appeared to be, the movement from the beginning appeared to be nothing. It was insignificant. But just like that little mustard seed, it grows into a tree and sprouts branches. And so the kingdom would start out imperceptibly. It would start out very, very small and seemingly insignificant, but it would eventually blossom into a tree. And that's pretty much what's happened, hasn't it? You think of the beginnings of Christianity and to where we are today. The Christian religion is the greatest religion in the world as far as adherence to it. There are more people who adhere to the Christian religion than any other religion in the world. And of course, the gospel has gone all over the world and to all people, just as Jesus said it would. And of course, it's not over yet. And ultimately, there's going to be that sprouted from this small beginning, there's going to be a kingdom that is literally going to overtake the entire, not only the entire earth, but the entire cosmos itself. So, he's speaking this to them in these parables, telling them about the kingdom. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. And so he's speaking as they're able to hear, it says. The more we receive, the more God's going to give. So by all means, let's keep receiving. Let's stay in that place where we're not blocking that flow of God's word into our life so we can receive what he has for us and keep receiving more and more and growing by that. Be on our guard for the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things. Guard our hearts against those things because they're subtle and they slowly creep in. And, you know, it doesn't happen overnight, but it's a slow process where you just start growing cold to the things of the Spirit and warming up again to the things of the world. And of course, there's a possibility of even being restored from a place like that. That's happened many times, but you don't want to go there. Because if you go there, it's going to scar you for the rest of your life. A good friend of mine, a wonderful guy, but after some years of serving the Lord, he kind of got burned out, kind of got frustrated because nothing happened the way he thought it was going to happen. And just began to kind of grow a little bit cold, just backing off from fellowship, not really picking up his Bible like he used to. And, you know, one thing led to another, to another, to another. And then the next thing he's just so far away from the Lord, and he's so far away from his family, and he's so far away from everything that he was doing previously. And he told me this story. And God, you know, by his amazing grace, turned him around and brought him to repentance and brought him back. And he's serving the Lord again. But, you know, he knows that he probably forfeited some of the things that he might have been able to do because of his sin that he's now disqualified himself from. Those are the kinds of things that happen. They happen subtly, just start drifting a little bit, but man, before you know it, you can be so far out there. Be on your guard against that. Watch out for the thorns that will come in and choke. And remember, we go through tribulation. We go through persecution. Don't have a shallow commitment that when those things happen, you just, you know, throw up your hands and say, forget that. I didn't. You know, you're going to go through tribulation and trouble and difficulty regardless. That's just the way life is. But as Christians, we go through those things knowing that there is glorious end, all things working together for good to those who love God. And finally, be careful. Satan wants to snatch away everything that God wants to give you. He wants to rip off what God wants to sow into your life. So don't let him do that. When that word comes to you, lay hold of it. And lay hold of it by faith. Believe that word from God. And stand on that. And let the Lord move you forward in faith.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Mark in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part one of The Wind and the Sea Obey Him. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Parables of Jesus. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BBM124. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.